Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
As we gear our lives back up with the onset of autumn, it's an ideal time for midlife renewal. And to accomplish a meaningful change, we will need to change our basic outlook on life from negative to positive. And here's an added benefit. Recent studies demonstrate that happiness increases longevity. And I'm certain you want to live longer and enjoy each day along the way, but how? Well, my guest today, Jude Bijou, is here with some good news. In her book, Attitude Reconstruction, she points out, anything you need is within you. The original design of you is perfect. And she goes on to say, after you're unhappy and unfulfilled today, the margins just got a little blurry along the way. And she's here with some solid suggestions to keep you young and to increase your level of happiness. And Jude Bijou, MAMFT, is a highly respected psychotherapist, professional educator, and workshop leader. She has over 30 years' experience as a licensed marriage and family therapist. She's also a student of Eastern philosophy and espouses a holistic approach to health and well-being, and she's author of the award-winning book, Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life. And hello, Jude. I was going to invite the Beatles on to welcome you with Hey Jude, but unfortunately a couple of the fellows I learned are no longer performing, but it's great to have you here.
Thank you. It's just my pleasure to be chatting with you today.
Well, let's start from the beginning. With all the disturbing news on TV and the internet and unpleasantness all around, people arguing about politics and stuff, what can we do to ditch our negative thinking?
Well, I think that what I have learned is that underneath all of our bad attitudes are unexpressed emotions, unexpressed sadness, anger, and fear. And that if we start to deal with those emotions in a little bit more healthy way, a physical way, that we can open ourselves up to the other three emotions, which are joy, love, and peace.
Yeah, those are the good guys that we want to come in and replace those bad guys.
Exactly, because it's just a thing of I'm going to replace them.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm going to replace them. If I feel sad, I want to do some things that are going to bring me some joy. And if I'm feeling angry, I want to do some things that will make me feel more love. And if I'm feeling fearful, I want to do things so I'll feel more calm and peaceful.
Yeah. Well, we can't always change circumstances in the world around us, but how best can we condition ourselves to accept and not fight against what is? You know, it's so pointless, for instance, for me to be angry about something I hear about ISIS over in Syria or something, and you know, get all worked up over it, but I can't really do much about that. So how do I concentrate and not fight against what is happening also right around me, things that I don't like?
Now you're talking about acceptance, and that we have to accept that which we're not accepting. So we can use a very generic phrase like, people and things are the way they are, not the way I want them to be.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And if we'll accept that, if we'll really get it, that politics are the way they are, not the way we want them to be, or our spouse is the way he is or she is, not the way I want them to be, then we can stop fighting. And we can feel more love. We can feel more compassion.
We can't make our spouse exactly what we want him or her to be.
Exactly.
We certainly can't change politics. And so often when I get angry about something I heard on TV about politics, I think, you know, how is this really impacting my life now? And what's the chance it's going to really impact me in the future? And so often it has so little influence really on the day-to-day experience that I'm going to have in my little corner of the world.
Well, exactly. But if we come to it from a point of accepting it, then we can say, all right, if I ruled the world, I wouldn't do that, but I don't. And so I need to accept it, because then we can really turn around and look into our heart and go, well, so what should I do? What can I do today, given that I accept that my partner is the way he is? What can I do?
Once you accept that, then you say, how can I speak up and take action with confidence, knowing that he's the way he is and I'm the way I am?
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Well, enjoy life. All of us need a strong, positive relationships. And as you point out, the key to good relationships is effective communication. Why don't you give us those four rules of good communication that you have? I really like those.
Okay, because they're so simple, but we just weren't taught them in school. I think that they really belong in every kindergarten and starting right up from there, because we saw our parents, and they weren't necessarily the best communicators.
No.
And so what we really need to do is to turn our focus back from you aren't the way I want you to be and you should be this and all that, back to ourselves. And so it's like, what's true for me about whatever the specific topic is? Because these are the first two rules. I've got to stay specific, and I've got to talk about what's true for me about that specific event.
Yeah, I know it's such... so easy to slip into saying you always do this, or you never listen to what I say, or it's always a never is not the way you should approach.
Exactly. And then, you know, then we start to, oh, no, I wasn't, and it didn't, and, you know, we get so far away from the topic that's on the table.
That's right.
So, again, we've got to stay concrete, because we do that in engineering and finance and chemistry, in cooking, in architecture. We deal with specifics, and we've got to go, all right, if I focus on what is the problem right now that I need to address, and just stick with that, I have much better chance to be understood.
Yeah, I like the one. My biggest weakness, as my wife continually points out, is I have trouble listening 50% of the time. And I know how irritating it is when you're arguing with someone else and that person won't shut up and give you a point to make your side of the story.
That's just so prevalent. I teach a class in communication, and that's one of my questions. Like, how many people feel listened to enough? And virtually nobody feels like that they're getting that space. And it really needs to be 50-50.
Yeah.
And when I'm listening, I need to not be making a rebuttal and defending myself. I need to just listen to understand their position.
That's
I don't
so
have
true.
To agree.
I constantly
but I have to.
Find myself when I'm listening to an argument coming up with how I'm going to respond. And not
exactly.
really listening, because I already, quote, know the answer from
exactly.
my viewpoint.
But that doesn't feel very good to the person who is trying to make their point.
No, it sure doesn't.
But that's the habit that we've gotten into. So I say to get duct tape. You know, it comes in colors.
Yeah.
And you can just put a little bit over your mouth and keep those pearls of wisdom to yourself.
Well, you also say to focus on kindness and not negativity. I know that's another real problem when you get in an argument or communication with somebody, to get highly negative. Yes,
and because that's really the last rule. So we've got that I've got to stay specific and talk about a specific event and talk about myself with it. And focus on kindness. Focus on what will move the conversation forward.
Yeah,
not,
we'll move our relationship forward and resolve the problem.
Yes.
With both sides, neither side winning or losing.
Exactly. Exactly. So if I just maintain that attitude of, I want to understand this other person, I want us to work together.
Yeah.
And that's good for the heart. And that's really where that connection and the word love goes. is that when we really feel like we're listened to, because that's the fourth rule. We've got to listen 50% of the time.
Yeah, that's so important that a person feels like they're listened to and that they're important in the eyes of the other person. But
exactly.
In your book, you emphasize that to bring joy, love, and peace, the three good guys, into our lives, we need to align our thoughts, words, and deeds with what you call three ultimate attitudes. And tell us what these three attitudes are, because they make a lot of sense to me.
Uh-huh. Well, the first one is that we have to, honor and love ourselves.
Yeah.
And so that means that I'm not putting myself down and going,
yeah,
oh, I blew it again. Oh, I'm so stupid. Oh, I did that wrong. That's not honoring ourselves. We need to be our biggest cheerleader.
Yeah, and, you know, it kills me when certain Christians sometimes say it's egotistical or to love yourself, but in fact Jesus said love your neighbor as yourself in the Bible, and it's really very hard to love and respect another if you don't love and respect yourself.
Exactly. And we've got so many messages from society of that what we're lacking. So we've taken on those messages, and we have to really turn the boat around, and so that we're honoring ourselves, that we're going, good for me, I did good, I did really well in that situation, and be our best cheerleader. It's like, okay, I know what I need to do, I'm going to speak up and do it.
Yeah, and what are the other two ultimate attitudes that you mentioned there?
Well, the second one is, in broad terms, is that we have to accept other people. We talked about that at the beginning, that we have to accept that people have different values and that we have to work with them, that judging them is not going to bring understanding.
Yeah, that's very true.
And the third ultimate attitude is that we have to stay present and specific.
Good point.
And it's just so easy, you know, to go with those always and never, but to bring in the future and bring in the past. And now, you know, it's just we're missing out on the present.
Yeah, the worst of all is to say, I should have done this 10 years ago, or what if I had only done this? Or that is so pointless.
Exactly, because it's one of the other points is to get over it. Just get over it. That's in the past, and you can't do anything about it. And what can you do now?
Yeah.
What's going to increase the amount of happiness, of joy, of love, of peace right now?
Well, I was fascinated in your book when you point out that releasing emotions physically is natural and essential, and that holding them in can clog up, as you call it, the vital life force, and make us feel numb as if we were on an autopilot. And yet, you know, throughout society, from when we were little kids, our parents always said, don't make a scene, you're acting like a baby, et cetera, et cetera. And how can we let out these emotions now constructively so that we don't embarrass ourselves or get in trouble with the spouse or the boss or people around?
We do need a safe place.
Yeah.
It's not appropriate to have a meltdown in the office.
No.
But I use the model of little children. And what do they do when they're denied that cookie? They have a temper tantrum. They flop on the floor and they kick and scream and they get over it.
Yeah.
They're not sitting there and resentful and withholding. They express the emotion naturally and that energy passes.
Yeah.
Because these emotions are just energy in the body. So that when I feel angry, I need to go and maybe push against a wall somewhere or lie on the back of my bed and flail and kick. And it sounds so juvenile and so embarrassing, but it feels so good to express that energy.
I was interesting when you said if you're anxious or worried, have insomnia or panic, you should shiver, quiver, tremble, and shudder. I don't think I've ever seen anyone do that. But
But again, that's what a dog does when you take it to the vet and it's scared. It shakes and shivers, and
that's
then it processes it. It's not, you know, left in a traumatic, oh, I'll never go back again. I mean, you know, who likes to go to those kind of places? But it's expressing itself right naturally.
Yeah,
and that we need to do the same, because instead we go to that I can't sleep at night and my mind is spinning and I'm worrying about this or anxious about this. These emotions or these feelings and behaviors are really an indication of we have fear. It's fear, and if we'll just do what that body wants to do, it doesn't want to tighten up. That's what we do instead. But instead, we just need to give expression to that agitated feeling that we feel inside, and we have to make woo, 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 you know, like like somebody in a swimming pool, and you know, and shaking the arms and woo, and making those sounds, because there's no words to it. We don't have to go about all the things we're anxious about. No, we just move that energy out of the body.
Yeah.
And then we're just so much more calm. Okay, now I can focus on the problem at hand.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't have time to go in detail on all these other suggestions you had, but I like the one like move the body where you say sitting is the new smoking. We need that we're really created to move that body, and if we just sit around all the time and don't get any exercise or motion, it's not very good for us.
No, there's just so many studies that show that you're more creative and more talkative, more engaged when you give yourself the both rest and moving the body.
Yeah.
So more creativity, you know, less weight gain, diabetes, heart attacks, cancer.
Yeah.
If we give the body what it really wants to do, we are not meant to just sort of sit in a heap in front of the computer, to the television, to the office.
Yeah, that's for sure. The other one that really hit home was your suggestion that we volunteer, because I've always contended that you're never going to really renew your life if you just concentrate on yourself. You might lose 50 pounds, or you might be in great shape, buy a bunch of things you always wanted, but until you start volunteering and doing things for others, it's pretty hollow, and it's not going to be very lasting.
Well, that's an incredibly lovely way to increase the amount of love that we feel, because, again, we're wanting to feel more joy.
Yeah.
We're wanting to feel more love, and we're wanting to feel more peace, and they're very concrete things that we can do to do that, and one is to give time, give help, give gifts.
You point out so effectively that maybe you're wrestling with some huge problem that you just don't have a solution to. If you step outside and address somebody else's problem and try to help them, often the solution will come to you naturally, or it's just taking time out from wrestling with your own affairs to help someone else is a huge benefit, probably in solving your own concerns and problems.
Absolutely, because we get out of the mind in that repetitious thinking of trying to solve a problem over and over, grinding away, rather than, like you say, stepping out and giving. And it stirs the heart.
Yes, it does.
And then that makes for more creativity.
Let's talk a little about your highly acclaimed book. Where did you come up with that title, Attitude Reconstruction? I like that.
Well, attitude is everything. Attitude means how I think and how I deal with my emotions, how I communicate, how I act. All of those things goes into your attitude. What is the way I'm going to respond in the world?
Yeah.
And we can do it in a positive way, or we can do it in a wet blanket kind of way.
Like so many of us get caught up doing. Well, as an author, what do you want readers to learn and take away from your book? If you had a few things that you really wanted them to take away. I know you have that in the introduction.
Well, yes, and that is that it's easier than we think to make changes. It's not rocket science.
Yeah.
It's that we can start to just change our thinking little by little, or stop yelling and expressing our emotions in destructive ways.
Yes, and you point out that it can be cumulative as you take these little steps. You do constructive actions and the effects are cumulative.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when you forget one day that you have good intentions, not to, I'm going to say, you somebody and read them the riot act about how they aren't doing things right, and when you pull back and go, no, I'm going to just talk about myself.
Yeah.
It feels so good. And when we forget, we just remember again.
Well, I notice your book contains practical exercises, which I love. Tell us about your quick quiz to answer the question, what's my emotional constitution?
Well, what I found is behind all that sadness, anger, and fear are very predictable attitudes.
Oh, I see.
And so for sadness, maybe we have a bad attitude, which we feel unworthy.
Yeah.
Or we want other people to say that we're great.
Yeah, you have people pick out the negative attitudes, and then you look for triggers, which makes so much sense, because once you understand what's causing you distress, it's so much easier to address the problem, isn't it?
Exactly. Once we can start to identify, it's just one of those three emotions, one of those three energies
yeah.
in my body, sadness, anger, or fear.
Yeah.
And then go, okay, now I want to start to handle that emotion differently.
Yeah.
Because I want to feel more joy, love, and peace. And
yeah,
that's what the book actually
yeah.
gives, is very simple ways to change how we think and how we process emotions, how we communicate,
yeah.
and we listen to our inner self, our intuition. And
I love books like that that have good, solid steps you can take and suggestions rather than just a bunch of theory on it. But
absolutely. That because I had enough theory, and it just, you know, it's like, give me something that works, something that intuitively
yeah.
makes sense,
yeah.
and just tell me how to do it. And that's what the book's like, because you don't have to read it from first page to last. You can pick it up and browse. Oh, I want to learn about communication. Go to that chapter.
Yeah, those are the kind of books I like that, you know, it gets right down to it, what you want. You pick up, and then maybe you scan the whole book, but then you pick out those specific areas that really are meaningful to your status or what you want to learn.
Right, because that's what I did in the book. In the third part of the book is I took out 33 bad attitudes,
oh,
and just
nice.
The common ones that we all experience,
yeah.
and give very practical steps about how to deal with it, how
oh,
to deal
right.
with overwhelm or a lack of you know, enthusiasm.
Yeah. Well, where best can someone preview and purchase your book? Is it?
Well, the easiest way is through Amazon, or
nice.
It can be ordered at any bookstore. But Amazon, of course, is
yeah.
simple these days, and it can be downloaded as an e-book or
yeah.
a regular paperback.
Well, do you have a website where folks can learn more about you and your philosophy?
Absolutely, I do, and that's where people can take that free quiz to figure out whether it's sadness, anger, or fear
oh.
that is keeping them from feeling happiness, from feeling joy, love, and
yeah.
peace. So the website is www.attitudereconstruction.com.
Oh,
the same yeah, name as the same of the book, attitudereconstruction.com.
Yeah, well, I note on your website you also have a store that offers other interesting items like pens, mugs, mouse pads, even attitude cookies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But mostly what you'll find is a lot of very practical advice on topics that interest us all with
yeah.
very practical solutions.
Well, in concluding this session, I'd recommend you consider Jude's Attitude Reconstruction as a possible solution to a whole host of issues so common to middle age. Maybe you're sick and tired of feeling empty and unhappy, and you're just kind of plugging along the past several years. Maybe you're fed up with that job and career that seems to be leading nowhere, and you're at the mercy of a boss who's calling all the shots. Or maybe you've become addicted to yelling at your teenagers who don't listen and no longer seem to respect you at all. Or maybe you're single and alone again after a breakup of your 25-year marriage. How do you build fresh new relationships? Or you have no idea what to do next now that you've been laid off for the first time in your career. And instead of panic or a short-term fix, this might be an ideal time to discover the root source of all your problems and then address them head-on. And as Jude contends, restructuring your attitude will actually change your life over the long term and for the better, and I highly recommend you preview her book, Attitude Reconstruction. And while you're at it, check out my book, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up. I think you'll find the two books complement each other and will guide you along the path to a brighter tomorrow. And thanks so much, Jude, for joining us, and best of success in all your ventures.
Thank you so much. It's just been my pleasure.
Thank you, and have a great day. To begin this segment, ask yourself this highly personal question. At middle age, am I fully satisfied with my health, my energy, my enjoyment of life, and my expectations for the future? Is your body supplying all the energy you need to accomplish the goals you have set for yourself today? Do you even have goals for today? Are you confident that your body will remain fine-tuned as you age, constantly on guard to protect you from the onset of a critical disease or a debilitating lifelong condition? In contrast, on a typical day, especially a work day, do you find yourself slopping through life carrying your body along with you? Are you sluggish and tired, lacking the energy needed to get things done? Do you fervently wish you had stayed in better shape and still had the physique and energy you had back in your 20s and 30s? Not too realistic, is it? Do you suspect your body needs to toughen up to protect yourself from the onset of a serious disease? Now ask yourself the question, who's in charge? Isn't it high time that you take primary responsibility for your own health and well-being? After all, no one else has as much skin in the game as you do. And my next guest, Elaine Ferguson, MD, contends that vibrant health and well-being is your birthright, and she's here to help you and me claim that birthright. And Elaine R. Ferguson, MD, is an Ivy League-educated physician, graduate of Brown University and Duke University School of Medicine. She's practiced holistic medicine for over two decades in both public and private practice, currently serves as senior medical director for the U.S. Postal Service Great Lakes area, and she's author of the best-selling book, Super Healing, Engaging Your Mind, Body, and Spirit to Create Optimal Health and Well-Being. I love that title, and we're extremely proud to have her with us today. And hello, Dr. Elaine, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Oh, I like that title. Hi, thank you for having me. That's a great title and topic.
Well, in your book and on your website, you relate that in med school, as you quote, I kept waiting for health to show up in one of my classes, but it never did. And I don't get it, because I thought a physician's role was both to restore our health and to keep us healthy. Where is the American medicine gone wrong if they never talk about health in med school?
That is a great question. Well, American medicine went wrong at the turn of the beginning of the 20th century when business forces gained control of medical education and the healthcare industry and became much more pharmaceutically oriented. That's what happened.
The pharmaceutical industry.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So we spend all our time then. When you go to the doctor, they alleviate your symptoms or treat your disease, but they don't really show you how to stay healthy, you're saying, I guess.
We didn't have a clue. I learned about health through my life experiences, and after I completed medical school and my residency, when I really began to study wellness and alternative therapies and the philosophies of other healthcare approaches from China and India and other cultures that looked at health from a very comprehensive and holistic perspective compared to our focus on just the physical body. And as you say, suppressing symptoms, not really looking at how do we create health or how do we enhance it or even promote it.
Well, what is super healing and what are some basic steps that those of us at middle age can take to help create a long, healthy, and active second half of life for ourselves?
Well, super healing is a term that came to me a couple of years ago and was what inspired me to write the book. But it's a comprehensive approach to engaging the body, the mind, and the spirit to unleash our innate capacity to be healthy. Our cells and our organs, our body, our being was created to experience optimal health, to live with vitality, to be vibrant, to creative and fully expressive and engaging all of our capacities.
And to move around, too. To move around, too.
Yes.
A lot of us seem to have forgotten in middle age.
Yeah. Movement is so important because movement is the basis of the universe, really. You have to move. Anything that's stagnant is dying. So, yes, physical activity is critical to our health and well-being throughout our entire lifespan, but especially after we reach our middle decades. We have to move to prevent those diseases that we want. I was just watching a program the other day that talks about, and I've seen the research, it just reminded me of it, the research that found that people who exercise have a 50 to 60% reduction in experiencing Alzheimer's, and nobody wants disease.
There's
that's
a good reason to get out and do some things, if nothing else. Well, is there a proven connection between illness and emotion, you point out, I guess? Are there scientific studies that demonstrate that positive, self-confident folks actually are less prone to illness and they recover faster if they do get ill?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. There is a whole body of research known as positive psychology that looks at human strengths and character, and it's been found across a wide spectrum of diseases that people who are optimistic, even when they do get sick, they tend to have a shorter hospitalization stay, they get well faster, they have a less likelihood of developing certain diseases, certain chronic diseases. So what we don't understand or think about in this culture is that whatever we think, feel, and experience emotionally, we're also having a biochemical, physiological response within our bodies to those thoughts, feelings, and emotions.
Yes, that's what so many people fail to recognize, I think.
Yeah, they think it's all in their head, and it's not. It's in their whole body. That's why when we become stressed, our heart starts beating fast, our stomachs start gurgling, our muscles tighten up.
Yeah.
We're ready to either run or fight, and then the converse.
Been there and done that.
Hmm?
I said I've been there and done that.
we all have, and when we're happy, when we're joyful, when we're feeling those positive emotions, our cells are functioning better, and they're happier because of it, and functioning at a much higher level. That's where optimal function comes, when we're in optimal emotions.
Yeah. Well, suppose you've neglected your health for a number of years, too busy to exercise, poor diet, overweight, God forbid smoking, too much consumption of alcohol, stressed out all the time, no life balance, everything into the career, all those problems that so many people get into in middle age.
Sure.
Does a super healing approach work for someone this far out of shape and out of balance emotionally?
Yes, absolutely. Our bodies are quite intelligent and quite remarkable, and no matter what you've experienced before, if you do the right things and you make the decision to improve your health and to take charge of it, your body will reward you. It's never too late. I tell people, if you're on this side of the grass and not on the other side, it's not too late.
Yeah, I like that. Well, what are some initial super healing steps you might take to get back on track?
Well, one of the most important things is to make the decision.
Yeah.
We are so powerful when we set the intention and when we have the desire to change. That's what fuels us, our enthusiasm, our passion. So we need to become passionate about being healthy.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we tend to fall off the wagon. I mean, I'm sure you have, I have. We make a commitment to doing something, and then let's look at New Year's. How many people are still doing their New Year's
resolutions
today? This is almost October, and probably after the first month, most were done with that. So have to make the decision and set the intention and then focus on becoming healthy and take actions that take the steps using the techniques, the tools that I talk about in the book. And they're very simple, but they're very profound, especially when you do them together. They work together synergistically.
Yeah, as I say in my book, you have to give as much attention to, I call it midlife renewal, but you're calling it super healing. But that's, you have to have as much, that's just as important. In fact, what is more important than your health and your emotional well-being? And so you don't put that aside every time you have some other commitment comes up.
Exactly. We put the carriage way back before the horse and not taking care of ourselves. It's so important for us to do that. And just a few simple things can make a big difference.
Yeah.
Exercising, as you said, moving regularly. And I tell people, if they can't move, then meditate, because meditation has the same health benefits that exercise does. If you don't want to move, get up, just meditate where you are. Some people don't even want to do that. But sleeping and eating properly and taking care of our emotions. We normally think that if you're taking care of your emotions, you're seeing a psychologist. And that's not the case. We have to be aware aware of what we're thinking and feeling in order to appropriately manage those emotions. We think our emotions control us, and it's really the opposite.
We've had so many people talk about that once you really understand where your emotions are coming from and that you have more control than maybe you thought over those emotions, when you understand the process and you can take control.
Absolutely.
Rather than the emotions controlling you.
Yes, they seem like they're controlling us, but you're absolutely correct. We are the driver. It's not on autopilot. We have control.
Well, what if both your parents were diagnosed and passed away at a young age from cancer? Do inherited genes sentence us to a similar fate, or is it fairly certain that you'll get cancer if your like brother or sister or parents did? Or
Absolutely not. And this is one of the big major developments in medicine that most people don't know about. When I was in medical school, we were taught that family history was very important. It's critical to knowing what was going on in a patient's family. And now we know, and we were also taught that our DNA, our genes are fixed, that they cannot be changed, and if your family has a history of cancer, you're going to get a, you have a very high likelihood. But what we know now, which is so wonderful and such good news and inspiring to me, is that our genes are not fixed, and you don't have to get sick. You don't have to experience those diseases that you're, that's very common in your family if you do the right thing. There's a whole new field of epigenetics. It's the study of the, how the environment affects our genes, and the environment is the internal environment. So it's not just what's going on outside, but what's going on inside. We know that our emotions actually turn on and turn off appropriately genes that will lead to good health and genes that will lead to dis-ease. When we are in those states, when we're healthy and feeling good, we're our good genes are activated, and when we're tired, distressed, upset, et cetera, on a chronic basis, those disease-inducing genes are activated. So you know you don't have to get cancer, you don't have to get Alzheimer's, heart disease, or all those other things, diabetes, which is very much linked to family history. It's up to you, up to the individual to make a difference.
Very much more related these days to the diet.
Yes, absolutely. Diet and inactivity.
Yeah. Well, all of us are aware that routine exercise and good nutrition can help us remain healthy, but give us a few of the other surprising ways to improve your health. Like you mentioned, walking barefoot outside, hopefully not stepping on a nail, though.
We know now that Mother Nature is just incredibly important to our health and well-being, and there's a new field of research that looks at the energy, the earth energy, it's called earthing, that looks at how when we're walking barefoot, we're actually receiving energy, negative electrons, which helps to stop inflammation from the earth. And I think that's pretty remarkable, and it helps to stop inflammation and all the things that we don't want, just walking barefoot, not on grass that has been treated with fertilizers, but near water or... In nature, and really in nature, that hasn't been touched by man, can make a big difference with our health.
I also like this using meditation to lower your blood sugar. That was pretty remarkable to me. I noticed that.
Yes, we know that stress is a big plays a big part with diabetes. We also often think about it only in terms of the physical and activity in the diet, which certainly has been a major contributor. But we also know, based on some research that was done at my alma mater about 20 years ago, that diabetes, our stress plays a big part in learning how to meditate, actually lowers the sugar level for those who have diabetes and higher sugar levels.
There was one I really like, volunteer to help others. That's something so few of us realize, that if you really get outside yourself and start concentrating on other people's problems and helping them, it tends to help your personal health.
Absolutely. I just saw, you bring up things I just saw in my own life. I saw a TV show just the other day talking about a woman who was told she had a couple months to live, and she started Hull House, which is a very well-known social service agency in Chicago, and she lived for many years. So you're right. When we give to others and truly giving from our heart and not just giving to get a benefit of it, but when we give willingly and unconditionally, it
yeah.
literally changes our physiology. It's called a helper's high, and it's measurable. We know that the immune system improves, and the heart function gets better, and the blood pressure lowers. It's really quite wonderful what our body does when we're in a positive state of emotion, when we're helping others.
Yeah, that makes such a big difference. Well, both my wife, Gloria, and I are cancer survivors, and we remember the fear and helplessness both of us felt when we were diagnosed. We felt we were at the mercy of our doctors and were very down emotionally. But using your super healing approach, what action should you as a cancer patient take to engage and accelerate your body's powerful natural healing if you're diagnosed with that?
Wow, that's like a 3-hour lecture. But
we have about
answer
five
you very to give you just an overview.
Yeah.
The will to live and the belief that your body can heal itself is critical to overcoming such a dreaded disease as cancer. And you're right, the sense of helplessness is what normally happens. But when people are given that truth, that your body, it doesn't matter what the prediction is, because that's about someone else. That's what I always say to patients. The statistics have nothing to do with you. You are your own person, and your experience is unique to you. So don't pay attention to the statistics unless they're good ones.
Yeah.
And usually they're not, especially in the case of cancer.
And then, you know, I'd do as much research as I could on the internet, and then I'd, you know, as much as possible, I'd partnership with my physicians, and I would develop a game plan, and I'd also, you know, visualize the rewards of when I conquer the disease, you know, maybe plan a cruise or whatever, something.
Absolutely, and look at you now. You're helping other people. That's such a wonderful thing. You have such a testimony to share with other people, so good for you.
Yeah, it makes such a huge difference if you have an action plan and you're pursuing that, whether it's looking for a job, fighting cancer, whatever it might be, and you're not just sitting back feeling sorry for yourself and waiting for the next stage to happen. Well, let's talk about your highly acclaimed book, Super Healing. And I know in the book you offer a 40-day action plan to transform your mental and physical health. And does that, like, have a different suggestion for each day, or how's that plan laid out?
Well, the plan is laid out. The book is really a workbook, or the first workbook. And at the end of each chapter, there's a questionnaire for the reader to use so they can, he or she can develop an individualized action plan. So upon the completion of the book, you take the questionnaires and you go through the steps, the 40-day steps. And there's different components. The first 3 days have nothing to do with the questionnaire, and it's about learning how to love yourself, to truly focus on self-love. Because
that's sort of the first step of anything healthy, I think.
Absolutely. It is critical. Dr. Christian Northrup, who's one of the physicians I love, she's an author, she said on her website that if we would dramatically lower health care costs if people were taught how to truly love themselves, because that is the foundation of self-care and of health. So,
I love the fact you have all those worksheets, because a book really isn't, you know, you can get all the theory in the world, but if you don't sit down and apply it to yourself, it really is probably going to go away within a day or two.
Absolutely. I wanted to inspire people to take charge of their health, because if they don't, we're headed on a collision course in this country, considering how much money we're spending on health care, almost $3 trillion a year. And it doesn't have to be that way. And not only is the money important, but it's more important that people experience the vibrant health that is their birthright. So I really feel that the book helps them to do that if they really are willing to invest the time. It's a blueprint for the reader to take the information and to personalize it to the tools and techniques that he or she prefers to use, because there's so many things that help. You don't have to do everything.
You have to do something that
engages your mind, your body, and your spirit.
Well, where should you go to preview and purchase your book? What's the best place to do that?
Well, we have on my book's website, superhealingbook.com, a downloadable PDF form, file for the preface, which will give the reader a good idea of what's coming, and it's available on Amazon and at bookstores across the country.
Yeah, they have a pretty good preview on Amazon, too, because I checked up on
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you have so many websites. I didn't know just which one people should go to. You have howtogetwellfaster.com, superhealingbook.com, and then there's a drelaine.com. Which
yeah.
one would you recommend that we go to find out about you and your services? And
Well, the best one is drelaine.com because that's my blog, and I have a free newsletter and some other free gifts for people who sign up for it. And the book is, you know, superhealingbook.com, and How to Get Well Faster is a mind-body product that I created a few years ago for hospitalized and recuperating patients to help them accelerate the healing process. It's like super healing for hospitalized patients.
Yeah, I noticed you have a number of CDs available on that site also. So.
Yes, I do. We have other products for caregivers and shortened versions of the full program.
Well, in conclusion, I'd say Dr. Elaine Ferguson's super healing approach pretty much sums up what we've been talking about over the past several weeks, that mind, body, and spirit must all work together to ensure optimal health, energy, and the prevention of disease. And as you say, disease is the manifestation of an existing imbalance that an individual is unable to resolve at any level of being. I like that statement. And I love your comment that vibrant health and well-being is your personal birthright, and your challenge and my challenge is to make that happen. And we're really relying upon the wisdom of centuries to seek out the ideal balance for our lives, which is good health and happiness, then will follow. And thanks a million, Dr. Elaine, for joining us here today, and best of success with your book and everything else that you're into.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure, and I'm happy to come back anytime you'd like to have me back. Particular things related to health.
The immediate request for all of you out there is be well, as they say at Walgreens.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, Dr. Elaine, for joining us. That wraps up our series of programs on exercise and nutrition, the E and S of our OPENS formula, O-P-E-N-S, for your joyful and prosperous second half of life. And next week, we'll talk about the S in our formula, service to others. Find out how you can have a great time volunteering and serving others. Before I go, I want to urge you again to check out our spanking new MART website. That's www.middleagerenewal.com. Same address, but all new content. First of all, we offer a comprehensive new MART bookstore with over 100 great books on all aspects of midlife renewal, both for you and your business or organization. And these books are hand-picked best of the best, all in one place. And while you're on the site, I urge you to preview my two books by me, Roy C. Richards, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up. That's a roadmap for renewal for women and men in their 40s, 50s, and beyond. And Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. That's recreating and re-energizing lagging enterprises and participants midstream. And on our new website, you'll also find 10 3 to 4 minute videos on the challenges of middle age and how to conquer them. There's a speakers tab that lists a whole series of subjects that I'd be honored to speak to your group or convention or meeting, company meeting, on a whole variety of inspirational topics related to midlife renewal. We have a workshop tab, and we'd love to design a workshop custom designed for your particular organization or group. It's they're highly participatory. You don't just sit there and listen. We have a whole bunch of exercises. We can do a one-day, half-day, even a two-day exercise workshop for you, and it's a great tool to get all of you pulling together in your company top to bottom or your business or organization, and it's both for individual renewal and collective renewal together. And don't forget, while you're on the MART site, you can obtain a free gift, my MART mini course, and that's absolutely free to me, or free to you, excuse me. And that, once again, that's www.middleagerenewal.com, and I hope you'll check out our new website, because we've done a lot of work on it, and we'd love to have you visit us on the new website. And we'll see you next week for Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, and that goodbye for now. Cool.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.